Morning, Pine Grove. It's a great pleasure to be able to be with my brothers and sisters, and obviously it's living in very, very difficult times, and we can't deny that. We're focusing on that, but I want to bring you a little good news, and I'm going to bring you good news, I think, for 35, 40 minutes. I don't want you to forget that we live in the good news all the time as born-again Christians. We are looking at the book of Ephesians, and the book of Ephesians is a story about God's new society. It's pretty much all there. And so we've been pulling it apart verse by verse, and it's telling us about how we are blessed in Christ. And, you know, being blessed in Christ not only means we're blessed, but it's that we can enjoy the blessings. And sometimes we forget about that. We sort of say, well, I'm blessed. Well, what does that mean? It means that you can put that in your eternal bank. That's something that doesn't rust and it doesn't devalue. Doesn't matter what the markets do. You have that in your bank. And so I have the privilege of looking at the passage where we are to be imitators of Christ. And I think if we understand what it means to imitate Christ, we will walk out this door with some blessings that are in our bank, our eternal bank. And so that's my prayer to you today, and we're going to just open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we're living in difficult times, and yet we have an eternal promise, and sometimes we don't fully appreciate the magnitude of that promise. You are the creator of the universe. You have guaranteed us that if we believe in your son Jesus, that he forgave our sins through his sacrifice on the cross, that we are saved and we are entered in, ushered into the family and into eternal life. We just pray this prayer for all of our brothers and sisters here and outside the church today. Amen. So this is a message which has sort of taken the government of Canada, it's an evolving situation approach. I was asked to do this message back in January, and at that point, we were talking about it was going to be really different because it's March break and there'll be kids in the congregation. Well, things have changed just a little bit. So my kid-oriented part of the service is going to be played down just a little bit, but I think there'll be something for everybody, and I hope you'll be able to, as I say, put this in the bank and take it home. We won't play the game, Simon says, which was my original intention. We will refer to it. Now, if we take a look at this whole series of being blessed in Christ, these are some of the blessings that we get out of Ephesians. And Zonder put this series together, and he sort of said, let's take a look at it. Let's take a look at what those blessings are. We started with adoption, inheritance, grace, unity, church, mystery, love, foundation, new life. I think we can add from what Zonder said today, no fear, a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging. And then, oddly enough, there's this last part, or almost to the end of Ephesians, imitation. Well, how could that be a blessing? How can imitation be a blessing? Well, I'm going to kind of unpack this a little bit, but if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up your Bibles to Ephesians 5, 1 to 16. I'm going to be a little bit radical here and use Eugene Peterson's The Message, because it does capture some of the modern day realities in it's a paraphrase. Okay, whatever. So it actually speaks, I think, to us as a church family on the Ides of March 2020. So let's go through it right now. It'll be a little hard to read on the screen. And keep your eyes on the blue underline, the red underline, and the gold underline. Watch what God does, and then do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does, is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Now, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting down a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or greedy bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Christ have better uses for language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry, will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Don't let yourself get taken in by religious smooth talk. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk, but want nothing to do with him. Don't even hang around people like that. You groped your way through the murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the true, the right, the true, these are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the shams that they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one will see. Rip off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. And here's the final bit. This is the punchline. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. So let's start at the back. Let's start at the end. What could be more appropriate as a passage for today than "these are desperate times"? Zondra probably didn't know this was coming, but somehow the Holy Spirit knew that this was going to be the right message at the right time. So we're in the evolving situation of COVID-19. There's no denying it. You turn on your phones, you look at the news, and there's something new every hour, every minute on what's going on. And this is real life, and there is real fear and real anxiety. And I don't have to make light of the fact is, how will having extra toilet paper make it okay? Okay. Anyway, but this is where we are living. And this is the kind of reality that globally is seizing up all of the social interactions of life. And as Christians, we have a responsibility, but a joy of knowing what real life is. And I just picked out a couple of passages. I'm sure that we could find 25 more just by the people telling us about their favorite verses about real life. Real life, John 14:6. John answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's real life. It's not about whether a microscopic pathogen is going to infiltrate a human body. That's a scientific fact. It either is or it isn't. But that's not real life. Real life is Jesus saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And equally, the whole notion that God knows that we are human beings. He became a human being. He understands about fear and anxiety. And yet his word gives us an affirmation that we should not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And I can never repeat that verse without thinking of Harry Dysack. I don't know if it's your favorite verse, but it's close to your favorite verse. And that's the joy of Christian brothers and sisters. So, not only do we have real fear and real anxiety and real life that we see differently from a different orientation as a Christian follower of Christ, but we are followers because we are imitators. And this is how I'm going to get to my message, is that we are able to grasp real life, to allay worldly fear and anxiety because we are followers of Christ. And how do we become followers of Christ? We become imitators of Christ. And this is a theme that's gone through the entire love letter of God that we call the Bible. Go back to the Old Testament, very famous passage. We have a hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we know as followers and imitators of Christ that we have joy, patience, and faith. Romans 12:12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. That's some pretty good news. And that's all there for times such as these. But let's dig a little bit deeper into our passage in Ephesians 5, 1-16. Because I think it's emblematic of what we do as Christians so that we can claim these promises, these blessings. We can go out the door knowing that we have a hope and a future, whatever the affliction. It's always my goal to make you go home with something you can remember. And so this is it. If you fall asleep after this, you're good to go. So three things to remember about this passage is we are blessed in Christ when we imitate Christ. And there's only two parts to imitating. Watch and do. Watch and do. And maybe a third step, repeat as necessary. Part of the problem about watching and doing is that we often get distracted. Squirrel! And we forget that the watching and doing has a little bit of, be careful, there are pitfalls. And the pitfalls are twisted love and twisted speech, getting taken in by smooth talk and wasting your talents. And then the third part is remember to claim your blessing. It's not, you've got to show that you have this blessing and that you embrace it. And so I'm going to say, and I think many people in the congregation know, I love to celebrate. Celebrate. And we're going to celebrate in the light of the Lord. So, here's three different translations of the passage that we have with respect to imitation. And I think it's going to maybe pull some of the threads out a bit. If we're in the New English Standard, we get, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ gave loved us. He gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Or, this is the International Children's Bible. I didn't even know there was an International Children's Bible translation. You are God's children whom he loves. So try to be like God. Live a life of love. Love other people just as Christ loved you. Christ gave himself for us. He was a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. And then we have our passage that I read. Watch what God does and then do it. So there's something about imitation that we are asked to do or asked to become imitators. Now, what is that? Well, I said that I prepared this a while ago, and the first thing that comes to mind is Simon Says. You know, it's a kid's game, but if you don't imitate the leader, guess what? You have to sit down. And as a little kid in grade one, that's devastating. So, I am going to be, as Simon Says, touch your nose. I touch my nose. Okay, good for you. Simon Says, raise your elbow. Simon Says, raise your elbow. Sit next to the person beside you. None of you did. I don't know if that's because of social distancing or because you know that I didn't say Simon Says. So what just went on there? One is, you knew there was somebody leading the game. And it wasn't like if Joe said, Simon Says, you wouldn't listen to him because he didn't start the game. So you know that there's a leader. You also know that we have a situation where there's a set of instructions and there's kind of rules around how they work. And then you listened and you watched. So we're going to do this in just a slightly different context, and please bear with me. This is not a highly evangelical or God-centered example, but it's pretty fun because it's something that I love doing.
Next time you come across a basket of fruit, don't just eat it. Have some fun with it first. In this project, we're converting any ordinary apple into a decorative and completely edible apple swan. Go find your basket of fruit and pick out an apple you think looks good. Now using a sharp cutting knife, carefully cut the apple at a slight diagonal so that it slices right through the center of the apple core. While we're here, let's save two of the seeds because we'll be needing them later. Now that we've got our two halves, let's take the side that still has the bottom attached and place it face down on a cutting board. We'll need to place two butter knives perpendicular with the top and bottom of the apple. Now we can carefully cut down along one side of the apple core until the knife bottoms out on our makeshift spacers, then use the spacers as a guide to gently cut in from the side. When the two cuts meet, you'll have an apple wedge that pops right out. And while we're here, let's cut a piece from the other side the same way. Now our goal with these is to cut out three more L-shaped wedges about a quarter inch thick. And this time, rather than cutting in sideways toward your fingers, try turning the piece over so you can cut downward and meet the first cut at the bottom. Now with a little wiggle, a new apple wedge should break free. If you repeat the process two more times, then stagger the pieces back together, the effect is a beautifully layered wing. Now just cut the other piece the same way, and your swan's body should look like this. To make a place for the head, all we need to do is carefully cut into the front of the body and gently lift the pieces out to reveal a clean and fairly deep groove. At this point, we can go ahead and grab the other half of the apple and place it between the butter knives like before. But this time, we're just going to use them as spacers to cut an even slice off the bottom. You can see that repeating this process three or four times gives us a nice variety of shapes and sizes. Now look for a piece that resembles a heart that's been slightly flattened on top. All it takes to form the swan head is three strategic cuts with a knife. I made one angled cut to form the head, a horizontal cut to form the neck, and one slatted cut at the bottom for the base. Now you should be able to see how this is coming together. And to clean it up a bit, just use your knife to round off the sharp edges. All that's left now is to place the apple seeds where you think the eyes should go, then use the side of a butter knife to press them firmly into position. When both eyes look good, simply drop the neck into place, and you're done. You've just created a beautiful and decorative apple swan. I spritzed mine with a bit of lemon juice to help prevent it from turning brown, then put it on display to show off for our dinner guests later that night. If you try using different apples, you'll get a nice contrast of colors, and every bird will look a little bit different.
Now, perhaps there was a little sleight of hand there. Every magician tries not to reveal his tricks, but this is one of my favorites. And I'm hoping that you will get a sense that you have a couple of tasks when you're an imitator. You have to listen. You have to watch. You have to experience. And in fact, you know, there's an old joke about it takes 10 years to be an overnight success, right? Because you have to practice and practice. You have to observe. You have to have a sense of what am I trying to achieve? Who am I trying to imitate? And how am I going to get there? And so imitation takes, I think, these four steps. The four steps, if you want to do it, it's a WADAC. A WDAC, and the four steps are observing the person or the technique, the angles, the subtleties, usually lots of times. Let me tell you, I looked at that video a lot of times. And to get the beautiful swan here, I've made a few of these. And it does take a few points of observation. But if you just watch the video, you won't be able to make the swan. You've actually got to wreck a few apples. You know, break a few eggs to make an omelet. And so you get the materials, that's the first thing. You can't do this with your finger, right? You need a knife, need a cutting board, trial and error, and practice, practice, practice. Now, you have to avoid some of the pitfalls. Distractions, carelessness, cutting yourself, and shortcuts. You know, the world is full of shortcuts. And usually, and it was interesting, I had a teacher once say to me, if there's a hard way to do it, let's do it the hard way. Because that way you learn, and you don't take the shortcuts. You might be able to take shortcuts later, but you got to learn that way first. And then finally, you know, you got to celebrate that thing. I'm not going to hide this. I want you to see my apple swan. That's really, really good, because I want you to be part of the experience. And I think probably it's disingenuous to think that we can be imitators and not celebrate, and not show it off, not be together as a group with that achievement. So I think this is what the passage is. Let's take it in those steps. Watching and doing. Ephesians 5:1. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Mostly what God does is love you. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Or the second part of that verse, of that passage, figure out what will please Christ and then do it. So what does that mean on a practical basis for us as Pine Grove? Well, if we're taking directions from the leader who we want to imitate, then we probably have to watch what God and Christ do. Well, that's always a bit difficult because God does not have a YouTube channel. Okay? And you can't just sort of say, well, you know, what would Jesus do? I'm just going to go ask him. Or can you? Interesting thought. So maybe you can ask Jesus. And I'm going to suggest this is practically how we do it. We read the Bible because God reveals himself through the Bible. How do you read it? That's totally up to you. You can read it all in a year. You can spend a whole year on one verse. Whatever. But if you do not read the Bible, you will have a hard time imitating God and imitating Christ. How about being part of a Christian community? It's exactly what Zondra said. Just because we have a crisis doesn't mean you stop talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ. If ever, there's no better moment with our communication tools to talk to your brothers and sisters in Christian community. Can't touch them, can't kiss them, maybe that's a good thing, but you can communicate with them. Getting into daily prayer. This is a little thing that I started doing, and it's super, super helpful for me. Might not be for you. Okay, wake up in the morning, jump out of bed, I'm the guy that puts the coffee on, go downstairs, I have two choices. I can look at my phone, find out what's happening in the world, or I can read a page in the Bible. My tendency is to look at my phone. My discipline and imitation is to look at one page in the Bible. Not a lot, just one page, even one verse, completely reorients the way I am. And I'm going to say, that's the way you find a YouTube video on God. Go to his word. Look at it just a little bit. And it will completely put you in a different space. And then there's that nudging of the Holy Spirit. And that sort of comes and goes. I don't know how the Holy Spirit works. I think we have pretty good evidence that nobody knows quite how he works. But you get him when you get converted, when you become a new Christian. You know you have access to the Holy Spirit. And so I had this whole message prepared, and I got a nudging of the Holy Spirit through Janet. She said, you know what, you kind of should think about this. I'm like, think about this? That'll ruin my whole sermon. Anyway, then I reconsidered that maybe she was getting her nudging from the Holy Spirit, and I think it was. So anyway, Holy Spirit blows like the wind, and you just have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's nudging. And the more sensitive to you are, the more sensitive you become. And then finally, doing it. this whole idea of God is love. So doing love, as you do love, you imitate Christ. And what I call close and far fellows. Christians might be your close fellows or your family members. Far fellows are, you know, the guy that's on the bus or the support you give to Haiti, whatever. And then extravagant love is loving outside your comfort zone. What does that mean to you? Well, it probably means something different to all of us. But it doesn't mean, as I said before, hoarding toilet paper. So what about squirrel problems? Avoiding the pitfalls. I've listened to a few sermons, and there's lots of sermons on chapter 5, 1 to 16, that focus exclusively on all of the blood and guts and gore of this part. I'm not going to do that. All I'm saying is to be imitators of Christ, we have to keep in our lane. Not on this ditch, not on this ditch. We have to not be distracted. And these are some of the ways we can get distracted. We can get distracted by turning love into something that God didn't intend it to be. We can let ourselves get taken in. We can waste our time. And so I think the pitfalls that are most important, the way I like to think of them, is guarding your heart. Do you expose yourself to twisted love? And if you do, then you're at risk. If you try not to expose yourself to twisted love, then you're going to have a better chance to be an imitator of Christ. One thing that Zonder said that I've really appreciated since he's been here is test your Christian teachers. Are your Christian teachers telling you the goods that you're reading about in the Bible? If they're not, you got to call them on it. And say, you know, are we getting straight goods? Don't let yourselves be taken in, or else you won't be imitators of Christ. And then finally, don't waste your time. These are all very big categories, but I just want to go over them quickly because this passage goes over them fairly quickly. Are my pursuits keeping building God's kingdom or ignoring it? You know? And are we 24/7 successful? No. But I got a couple of tests for you. How will we keep it real on answering those questions? Would I be proud to tell my granny what I'm doing? Okay? Would I? No. She might not have a problem with your spending a lot of time looking at pictures of new puppies on the internet. She might have some problem with other things you look at. Second thing is, well, what happens if I wouldn't be proud of that? Well, seeking strength through prayer, the Holy Spirit, and accountability friends. This is tough. This is tough. And we're all fallen creatures. And that comes to my third point. Failing will happen. It does happen. It happens to me every single day because it's part of our fallen condition. So we will get distracted. We won't be perfect imitators. But at least we have that highway that we can look down. And maybe these are some practical steps that you can think about to avoid the pitfalls. And then finally, celebrating in the light. Sorry, it's in gold. It looked better at home in the dark. But here, Ephesians 5:9, the bright light of Christ makes your way plain, so no more stumbling around. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffin. Christ will show you the light. Make the most of every chance you get. So practically speaking, what does that mean? What does that mean for, you know, a Harry and a Kathleen on a regular basis? Well, first of all, God invites us, Jesus invites us to walk in the light. You know, who's ever gone out to camp and had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night and tries to do it without a flashlight? That is no fun at all. So having a choice between walking in the light, walking in the dark, why would we choose the dark? Jesus calls us into the light. And maybe we can develop habits that make Christ's light, the go-to. And the spiritual disciplines, those might be fasting, or those might be retreats, or praying, or prayer, or maybe just some little hacks. I'm really frustrated in traffic. Why don't I just pray? I mean, that sounds silly. Why would that make any difference in the world? But it does. For you. Maybe not for everybody. And then I really like Paul's comment that if I have something to boast about, let it be about boasting being in Christ. So let's boast about walking in the light. Let's celebrate. Let's have a culture of celebration. Let's experience the wow factor. Even in these dark and difficult and desperate times, let's feel the wonder of imitating Christ. Now, I often include a video, and I found one, and it's not from Ephesians, but it so moved me that I want to share it with you. It's a Hillsong United from 2017, and it's called Wonder. And I just want you to sit back and think about following Christ and what it means to claim the beauty and the advantage of being in Christ. Kevin, it gets a bit loud, so you might want to turn it down a little.
Have you ever seen the wonder in the glimmer of first sight? As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light. If you have soul sick, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. Have you ever seen the wonder in your second life? I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm walking in the wonder. You're the wonder in the wild. Turn your wilderness to wonder. If you have so say, I see the world in love. I see the world in freedom. See the Jesus way. You're the wonder in the world.
You're the wonder in the world. Just wilderness to wonder.
I see the world your way. I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in light, bursting in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. Oh, I say, I see the world in grace. I see the world in gospel. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. I'm
So go in peace, go without fear, be imitators of Christ, and share that wonder with a very hurting world this week. Amen.
Thank you, Don.